You remember those eyes. You know, the progressive realization of the will of God for your life is success. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." You see, this is not my way, this is not your way, but this is actually God's way. The negative words are, "Lean not unto thine own understanding." You see, the reality of it is, man's way is not God's way. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, the scripture says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then if we come up to the New Testament, and it's pointing to the time before the return of Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 7, Paul speaks of the last days, and he tells what men will be like when he says that they will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, in the book of Daniel, Daniel talked about in the last days that men would be running to and fro and that knowledge would be increased. Now, knowledge has been greatly increased in our lifetime, so much so that the younger generation does not see or feel the impact of it like those that are more mature among us. As I mentioned this morning, Brother Cecil and Miss Lou have been married for 68 years. And if Brother Cecil had the time, or if Brother Billy had the time, to come up here and tell you younger people what they have seen, the changes that they have seen in their life. How many of you remember a 12-inch black and white TV sitting on top of a cabinet with a coat hanger with aluminum foil wrapped around it so that you could get a little bit more reception, okay? You remember what it was like to go to an outside toilet. Some of y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. But when I was growing up, my grandmother, when we went to her house, that's all that there was. There wasn't any air conditioning. There was a big, giant wash tub that they used to wash a lot of the dishes in. Now, folks, I'm from a little bit different generation. You know, you can go to Walmart now and buy a 40-inch TV for $190. Okay, we're living in times that fulfill the scripture when you have every one of you have a computer in your pocket, a cell phone that has more power than the first computer that I bought that looked like a phone book. It was so thick. We're living in those times when knowledge is being greatly increased. Airplanes, iPhones, computers, space travel. It's incredible when you begin to consider all these things. However, man cannot solve his own problems. We cannot solve the hunger problem. We cannot solve the problem of hate. We cannot solve the problems of racism. We cannot solve the problem of rampant sin, of gang warfare. We cannot solve the problem that are worldwide when we look at people who are autocrats who basically don't care for anybody, but they rule over millions and millions of people. So how do we begin to move forward? Why is it this way? It's because man cannot have true success without God. What is success again? The progressive realization of the will of God for us. And if we begin to think about it, I believe it's our privilege, it's our job, it's our duty to find the will of God, to follow the will of God, and to finish the will of God. I couldn't help but think about it this week. I was driving home from work Friday afternoon. I got off a little early because it was so slow at work. It's boring. It's boring the Friday before a New Year's holiday when you're only one of eight that's working in the town. And I began to drive down the road, and I thought about my life, and I thought about where I was at, and I began to think about God and God's plan. We were sitting celebrating Christmas, and my wife pulled up on her phone an account. It was a recording from 30 years ago this Christmas of my family at my grandmother's house. My wife and I were sitting there on the couch, and I was real slim and had a head full of hair. I looked like Tommy Bruce with black hair. My wife, she didn't look much different. There was Jessica. She was about almost 2 years old running around. And we sang a song, "Remind Me, Dear Lord." It says, "Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been." As I begin to look at that, and I looked at how many people in that picture were gone. My dad's gone to be with the Lord. My mother's gone to be with the Lord. My Uncle Jerry, he's gone to be with the Lord. And his wife Martha, she's gone to be with the Lord. My grandmother, Mary Holcomb, she's gone to be with the Lord. And, you know, her husband, George, he's gone to be with the Lord. And I begin to look, and I thought about Judy, her husband, my Aunt Judy, her husband, Roy, he's gone to be with the Lord. And all of a sudden, it dawned on me that we're not going to be here forever. And if we're not going to be here forever, what are we going to do with the life that we have? And I begin to think about my responsibility as a dad, looking back on those years, those 30 years. Have I lived my life in the way that God would be pleased? What about what's left? How much do I have left? The reality of it is, I don't have 30 more years. Maybe 30 years from now, it will be my children looking at pictures, looking back and remembering. And here's the question. If we're going to find the will of God, God, help me to find your will for my life, so that I can be the best dad that I can be, so that I can be the best husband that I can be, so that I can be the best servant, God, that I can be, so that I can be the best friend that I can be, so that, God, I can be what you want me to be. Now, if we're going to find that, here's what we got to have. Number one, we have to have a trusting confidence. Doesn't the scripture say in the fifth verse, it says, trust in the Lord, in the Lord. That's not in a program, not in a philosophy, not in a denomination or a preacher or a teacher, but trust in the Lord. Now, folks, let me stop here. There's nothing wrong with seeking out good mentors in your life. I have people who have been a tremendous impact and influence on my life. But if you put too much trust in man, one time man may let you down, and it may knock you off of the boat, that you're trying to follow the Lord. Put God first. Now, let's consider this trusting confidence. Why would we not trust in the Lord? And I want us to think about this for a minute. Could it possibly be because we don't love the Lord? You say, well, sure we love the Lord. Well, not everybody loves the Lord. You know, it's almost like people, not everybody loves the Lord because I don't think that every person knows the Lord. You see, if you knew the Lord, I believe that you would love the Lord. But the problem in this world today is we have so many people who want to find the answers and they want to find their way without a relationship with God. And I'll tell you what it reminds me of. And folks, I don't have a problem with the word of the week. Y'all have seen it on the schools. The word of the week is integrity. The word of the week is knowledge. The word of the week is kindness. And the reason that the public schools have a word of the week on the board outside is they're trying to find a way to educate people into doing the right thing, but they're wanting to do it without God. That's why they took prayer out of the schools. That's why they took the Ten Commandments off of the walls of the courthouses. Is we think in America today that we can have success and we can have everything God's way without having God. You cannot. You're going to love God when you know God, and the reason that we're not having success is because we don't know God, and we're trying to do it our way. Well, what about knowing Him? How do you know the Lord? And this is something that I need in my life. If I'm going to know the Lord, I must spend time with Him. You know, an example of that, and sometimes my wife and I, we talk, our lives are changing. 30 years ago, we had Jessica, and she was about 20 months old. Now we got Matthew and Luke and three grandkids. And I talked to her this week. I said, what are we going to do when it's just me and you? What are we really going to do when I finally can retire? I said, you and I need to have the right kind of relationship. So that when that time comes and we can spend time together, we will be able to communicate, enjoy our time, You know what happens a lot of times in families is you work so hard and you spend so much time raising children, you get the empty nest syndrome, and then you don't even know how to communicate and function together. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying it for a reason. I need to be able to communicate with my wife. Her love language is time. Y'all believe that I actually sat and watched two Hallmark love stories back to back with my wife on Christmas Day, and I did it because I love her. And they were very good movies, by the way. If I'm going to have a right relationship with my wife, I'm going to have to spend time with her. And the reason that people don't trust God, the reason that people don't love God, is you're not spending time with God. You can spend time with God in church on Sunday morning, but your whole life, your life should be devoted to Him. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. What that means is when you need Him, you call out to Him as if He is there, because He is there and He is your friend. And He cares about you. See, because if you spend time with the Lord and you realize who He is, you're going to love Him. And when you begin to know Him, you're going to trust Him. And it goes back to what I said about that relationship. There's been times that I really just didn't understand. But I had to realize that He's God and I'm not. And for me to be in a right relationship with Him, I have to lean, reach out and depend on Him and not myself. So you must have a trusting confidence. But I also want you to understand, you must have a total commitment. The Bible says in the 6th verse, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's in business, in recreation, in domestic life, in worship life, in leisure time, everything. You know, my wife and I've talked to others in this church that do the same thing. We started a practice. We pray for our kids. Here's what we pray for. We have prayed that God would send the right person into their life. Not the one that we like, not the one that they like. God, send the right person into the life of my daughter and into the life of my two sons. And now we've got 3 grandkids, and as long as we're on earth, we'll be praying the same way for them. Send the right person into their life. What about what they're going to do with their life? God, help them to find the right job. Not just a job, but the right job. Sometimes you need a job and God offers an opportunity and you can, you follow God and trust God and walk with God, believing that God will make a way. And we're going to talk a little more about that in just a minute. But God has the ability of going before you, and we want everything that we do to be committed to Him. You see, if you're totally committed to God, then you trust God totally. It's like this. God, it's not my will, but it's thy will. I'm turning my life over to you. Here is my life. God, I surrender. You see, there's a lot of people that say they're saved, but surrendering to God is different. Surrendering to God, saying, Lord, I trust you to fill in the blank pages of my life if I will just follow you. You know, as an older person now, I try to counsel those young men in my life, and as I speak to them, I speak to them out of years of knowledge. Why do you do that? You don't want them to make the same mistakes that you make, and the wisdom that you have, you want to share it. I heard a story of a man who was a missionary himself, and he had a son who wanted to be an engineer. Nothing wrong with being an engineer. You can be God's engineer. But the father spoke to his son, and he made this statement, and you may have heard these words like this before. 'Tis but one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. If we begin to realize that and understand that in our life, then we realize sometimes what we need to do is bow our heads and make sure that we're doing what God wants and not what we want. See, I've seen people in ministry that they want to be in ministry as long as they get to do the things that they want to do. Surrendering to God in ministry is, God, I am surrendering to you to put me where you want me to be. That's different. It's like bowing your head to God and praying this prayer. God, anytime, anywhere, and any cost. That sounds so expensive. But if we're willing to bow our heads and say that prayer, here's what I believe comes. And this is what I believe is the most important thing that we should seek for in life, is peace and contentment with God, is that peace and contentment comes from total commitment to God. And until we totally commit to God and we follow God totally in God's plan, we're not going to have that full peace and that full commitment, because we're trying to write our own story and pave our own way rather than going God's way. You know, if we're willing to now to pray that prayer, then I believe what that will allow us to do is truly live life to the fullest. And if we do not, it's simply because we're not trusting Him with all our hearts. Now, let's remember, if we're not trusting God, it's because we really don't love God the way that we should. And if we don't love God the way that we should, then it's only because we don't know God the way that we should. And if we don't know God the way that we should, if we're Christians, it's because we're not spending the time with God that we should. But if we're not Christians, and I want to say this for those that may be here this morning and have never had a personal relationship with God, you'll never be able to find the will of God for your life until you accept Him as your personal Savior. So you must surrender to Him, and you must ask Him to come into your heart, and then you begin to follow Him, and you learn the will of God for tomorrow by doing the will of God today. Now think about this. A lot of people are afraid of the will of God. Now the will of God is not something you have to do. It is something you get to do. And sometimes when I'm thinking about the will of God, there are things that come to my mind. I can remember being in Bible college. And I went to Bible college with a group and had some leaders at the time that did everything they could possibly do to push every person that was involved in the college into missionary work. Even to the extent they tried to tell me I was out of the will of God for not going. I said, look, you don't know the Lord that I talk to. He tells me what to do, not you, right? Your pastor don't tell you the will of God for your life. You listen to the Holy Spirit, and your pastor tries to help you, okay? But I remember one young man, he got a map out, and he said, I'm going right there. He pointed to Madagascar. Only thing I know about Madagascar is, you know, the Lion King. That's about it. And he said that, and I just looked at him, and I smiled. And another one said, yeah, I'm going here. And another one said, yeah, I'm going here. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. Today, about 17 years later, there's not even one of those men that said that are even still serving God. You listen to the Holy Spirit and follow the Spirit, and God will direct your paths. You know, we've had times, and things have been shared with me, sometimes when some of our youth go up to a mountain up there to Global Youth Camp. A lot of you young people that know, when you get on the mountain, the Spirit's high and it's strong. You get up there, and there are times that young people will go down and they'll make a commitment. I'm committing. I believe God's calling me in the ministry. I believe God's calling me into go into missionary work. But I remember one story of a young lady. She said, I believe God is calling me to do something, but I don't want to go make a commitment, lest I make a commitment and not fully understand the will of God and not be able to fulfill it. And I thought, that's wisdom. Where do you get that wisdom? You get it on your knees from having a personal relationship with God, because when you surrender to God your life, God will pave the way for your life. You don't have to know every answer today. Just follow the Lord today, and He'll show you what to do tomorrow. So don't be afraid of the will of God. And this is what I believe the will of God is. I believe that if we really understood the will of God, we would choose to do the will of God And see, because God will choose for you what you would choose for yourself if you had enough understanding to do it. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? The same God that saved me when I was 12 years old is still walking with me today. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, for it is God which both worketh in you both to do and to will and to do of his good pleasure. God. You know, sometimes my wife and I will be talking, and you know, we coming up on a 35th anniversary. And I reminded her the other day, I said, you know, I'm still the same as I've always been. Because the God that I served when we stood down at True Gospel Baptist Church and made our vows to one another, and Brother Kenneth Beavers married us, Brother Tommy, another Brother Tommy in my life was there, and he videoed the wedding. He's already gone to be with the Lord. Folks, the God that I served then is the same God I serve today. And he hadn't quit. And he hadn't give up on me. Now, I don't know what the future holds. Sometimes I question it, and sometimes I don't understand. But I do know this. If we want to know the will of God for tomorrow, we've got to do the will of God for today. You see, sometimes I believe people, rather than rejoicing in the will of God, they slander the character of God by making it seem that the only choice that they have in life is to do the will of God on one hand or have fulfillment on the other hand. Here's what I believe. Fulfillment only comes from fulfilling the will of God. Because real satisfaction, success, fulfillment is found in him. Now let's look at the latter part of the sixth verse, the third thing. There's a thrilling consequence. And it says this, he shall direct thy paths. That's a divine direction with a divine dynamic. That's God's hand on your life. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21 says this, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Now that says, God will say, this is the way, walk in it. Now, you know, the world looks at us as Christians sometimes a little funny because we pray, and especially if we believe that God hears us and we believe that God answers us. But he does. Now, how does God speak to us? Number one, he speaks to us through his word. In the book of Psalms in the 119th chapter, there are multiple verses. I'll give you just a couple of them. But the 18th verse says this in the 119th Psalm. Got too many places, Mark. Give me just a moment. But David said this. He said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. But if you look at the 18th verse, it says this. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Then up in the 9th to the 11th verse, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, and oh, let me not wander from my commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, the reality of it is much of the will of God is revealed in his word. And I just want to say this to you, and I want every person to understand and remember this. God will not lead you contrary to his word. If God's word says that something is wrong, it's wrong. I've had people come to me and they say, I just believe it's God's will, and they fill in the blank. And I'll say, well, I don't believe that's God's will because that's a direct contradiction to the word of God. God's not going to lead you against his word. God's, you know, if he speaks to us through his word, then we can read his word, we can receive his word, but God also speaks to us through our prayers. See, when you pray, you look for two things. You look for God to answer, but you also look for how it glorifies God. God always answers. The problem I have is God doesn't always give me what I ask for. Now, there's been a few times looking back, I can say, God, thank you that I did not have it my way because I would have been in a mess. But there's been a few times that I didn't get it my way, and I say, God, I don't understand, but I'm sure there'll be a day, and I'm sure you're still God. He also speaks to us through His Spirit. You believe God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 8, verse 29 says, Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. God spoke to Philip, told him to go there, and of course the eunuch was saved. But if we go down to Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. And it's talking about separating Barnabas and Saul to do the work. Then if you go to Nehemiah, Old Testament, the scripture said, And God put into my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people. You see, if you have a personal relationship with God, you can learn the voice of God. How? By being obedient to and following the will of God. Because success is the progressive realization of the will of God for your life. But you've got to have a personal relationship with Him first. And then the last, how does God speak to us? Is through His providence. Now this is where I want God to move in my life. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, the latter part of the verse says, These things saith he that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. You see, I believe when God opens a door, and God wants something done, there's not enough devils in hell to keep it from happening. I can remember times in my life when I was upset because things were not going my way. Y'all have heard the song. It's a country song. Yes, I listen to country music. I thank God for unanswered prayers. See, if it hadn't been for the Holy Spirit, I may have married the wrong person. I might have. That's why I pray for my kids. I don't want them to do that. I can remember one time I was at work and I was all upset because there was a job opening and I wanted that job. They didn't even interview me for that job. And I was sitting there and I was all chapped and I was at my desk. Nobody knew this. I was having a pity party, just me and God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I know it was God. He said, if I'd have wanted you to have that job, they couldn't have kept you from getting it. And it just kind of settled me right down. And I said, yes, Lord, if you want me to be in this job, help me be the best one that I can be. You see, because God has a way of working in our lives if we surrender our lives to Him. That's why where the Scripture says, He shall direct thy paths. The Hebrew word for direct is yashar. It literally means to cut a path or clear the way. Now, we do that down at the hunting land with a bush hog. We'll get in that thicket and we'll just go, logs and all. Sometimes God can do that in our lives. What you and I look at and we can't see, we don't understand, God has the ability of getting in front of us and cutting a path and clearing a way. And if you look at the root of it, it means to make right, to make pleasant, or to make prosperous. The same phrase is used in the scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 and 4, where it says, Make straight in the desert a highway for our God, and the crooked shall be made straight. You see, God clears the way for the person who trusts Him with all of their heart. Now, here's what's difficult for me, and I'm just going to be a little bit transparent here. Please, honey, my wife, please don't say amen when I say this. Men, don't we like to be in control? I like to be in control. I like to have the answers. I like to be able to look at all the figures. I like to have full understanding. I like to have all the answers. But here's what faith is. Faith is following God when you don't have the answers. Faith is following God when you do not see how it's going to work out. Faith is following God when you cannot see the path, but you trust that God will make the path straight. Now, if I'm going to have success in 2023, and folks, I want to have success, and here's the most important thing for me to have success in 2023, is I want God's hand on my life. I want Him to be the one that directs. I want Him to be the one that guides. I do not want it to be my way. I will make a mess. I want to surrender to God. And I want God to take this message that I've shared with you this morning and to fully ingrain it in my heart and my life so that when He speaks to me with His Holy Spirit, I will be so attentive and so listening that I will know it's Him and I will immediately follow Him. Because I want Him to always guide me. They're going to play a song and I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's going to be very difficult for you to have this kind of relationship with Him. We can try, but what God wants first is you. And in your relationship with God, when you get saved by the grace of God, He'll begin to guide you and lead you. Doesn't mean you'll be perfect. I got saved when I was 12 at a revival at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. And I hate to tell you all this, but I went right out in the yard and got into a fight with my sister. One of the preachers, he looked at me and said, "Didn't you just get saved?" And I didn't even know the song. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. But when the Holy Spirit took up its dwelling in my heart and my life, folks, I want to tell you, there's been times that God spoke to me. There's times I've been places I wasn't supposed to be, and the Holy Spirit of God would say, "Would you want me to come back right now and find you here for doing this?" That's evidence that I'm saved. If you want God to guide you, maybe you just want to come. If you don't know Him, you can pray. Maybe you just want to come and pray a prayer that God would put His hand of blessing on you for this year. As they sing this song, the altars are open.